If you have a Bible, I'm going to begin in Proverbs chapter 10. What a challenging thing this is to try to memorialize two special people in one sermon and keep it fairly short. I'd like to speak on leaving behind a good name. And I think that's what these two folks have done. It's a blessing, an opportunity, and I count it quite a privilege to be able to speak to all of you and to those who are live streaming. I know there's some who couldn't be here, and we're thankful that at least people can tune in. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 7, "The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot." Now, we've probably all known some people we are more than happy to forget, but these are not any of those people. These people live up to the first part of that verse. The memory of the just is blessed. When you remember Latrice, when you remember Don, wow, there's some good, good memories. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. Lord, I need your strength. I'm thankful for the message you've allowed me to put together, and I pray that your word would be a source of strength, encouragement, a challenge to us, and Lord, even convict us through your word and through the testimony of these folks. We ask that you be glorified through this. In Jesus' name, amen. The memory of righteous people is blessed, and the memory of those who are wicked is not so blessed. It's rotten, the Bible says. Today we're gathered to remember two wonderful Christians who have left us with some very good memories. Oh, I'm seeing that little clip of Brother Fly preaching. He preached so much. I was one of those many bus captains that we worked together in Miller, Etna area, and I heard many a sermon from Brother Fly, and I knew it would always be hot, and I knew it was always going to be a concern for those kids, and he encouraged them. He loved all the people he worked with. So why do we have good memories of these folks? Because they lived righteous lives. And of course, they were only righteous because they had accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and allowed Him to change their lives. And we can all allow the Lord to change us and work through us and live through us. I had the privilege of knowing both of these folks and being able to spend time in their homes, visiting with them on different occasions. And as we consider their lives, I want us to learn a few lessons that'll help us also leave behind a good legacy. So, a couple thoughts. First one is this, epitomized by these two folks. Do what you can. Do what you can. I find this in Mark chapter number 14. The scripture says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat, Jesus sat at meat, there came a woman," that was Mary, "having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor.' And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could.'" She hath done what she could. Mary was limited in what she could do for the Lord. But she did what she could. And that is the testimony of Don and Latrice. You see, Mary was able to take that precious ointment. It was valued at probably about a year's salary. That takes a long time to save that much. And yet she sacrificed that for the Lord Jesus. It was substantial. She found a way to serve Jesus. No, she wasn't going through the countryside preaching. She wasn't healing people. She wasn't one of the chosen 12 disciples. But she was a a wonderful, loving servant of the Lord. She found a way to serve God. Now again, our friends Don and Latrice, they each look for ways to serve the Lord. I'd like to consider each of them a little bit and see how they illustrate this point for us, doing what you can. And I think of Latrice, I think of someone that she did what she could. She had a burden for her family. You know, even before her stroke, she would gather those children around at times and have devotions with them. She taught them the importance of Bible. She taught them the importance of prayer. She brought them to church. She prayed for her husband to be saved. She witnessed to relatives. You know, she did what she could. After her stroke, she couldn't really read the Bible to her children. But she did what she could. She still prayed for them. Oh, you could see the burden she had for her kids. You could be there in the home, and she'd be getting after them a little bit here and there, and because she loved them, and she wanted them to do what's right. She did her best to get everyone in that house out to church. She did what she could. She served the Lord when it was not convenient. Now, a lot of people look for any excuse not to get into church. Oh, I got a little headache. Oh, there's a sniffle. Oh, well, I think I can't come today. It was a chore for Latrice to get ready for church. It was a chore. It was a chore to get herself ready, to make sure the kids were up and ready, to load up in the car. It wasn't just walking out the door, running out the door and hopping in the car. It was difficult with that walker. And then she wanted to come up the stairs of that auditorium. She didn't want to come in the side door. Nothing's going to stop her. She patiently made her way up those stairs. And when you passed her on the way, she'd be smiling. On Thursday, she could have stayed in the auditorium for prayer time. Mm-mm. You already heard that. She wanted to be in her prayer group with the other ladies down in the other building. Out those doors she'd go, down those steps, and all the way down to the prayer. She'd make that long, slow trip because she wanted to be there. It was her prayer group. For Sunday school, she could have stayed in the auditorium and listened to Dr. Vogel teach. But she wanted to learn about being a better Christian woman. By the way, she used to come to the Growing in Grace class until Mrs. Dameron started the ladies' Bible study. Not that I have much of a bone of contention with that, but stealing my Sunday school students. But I would often pass her, because our classes are both back there, I'd often pass her as she made that tedious trek up to the ladies' Bible study. Just smiling, happy to be in church. Wasn't convenient. You know what she did? She did what she could. Let me ask you, do you gather your family together for prayer? Are you faithful to church when it's not convenient? What about Don Fly? Don Fly did what he could. He prayed. And oh, did he pray. You heard how Brother Billy Hardecker had told Brother Mitchell about how he'd hear Mr. Fly praying and weeping. He and I worked on that bus route together. When I had a special request, when I knew something had to happen, I went, Mr. Fly, you've got to pray. I mean, I'm in desperate. Well, you've got to pray. And he'd be praying. And every time, something would happen. Every time. He was my go-to prayer warrior. After he was laid up at home, he did what he could. He prayed a lot. My wife and I, we visited there very frequently. And he would often tell us who he had been praying for. I was just praying about this, or I was praying for so-and-so. He prayed for missionaries. We just heard about Bill Hardecker in the Philippines. He prayed for him. He prayed for his pastor. He'd talk about praying for Pastor Dam. He prayed for me. Pray for families in our church. He had a burden for people. He prayed for his extended family to be saved. He prayed for his former bus kids. We got one of them back there, Angie Harris, made her trip up from the Indianapolis area just to be here today. She's not a bus kid anymore. She's telling she's almost 40. She was one of my bus kids. I'm just 41. No. Oh, yeah. Brother Alex made it. He stayed with Mr. Fly for a while, and Mr. Fly made a big impact on his life. I tried to pray with Mr. Fly when we'd go visit him at the end of our visit, especially his last couple years, as he's laid up at home. And a couple times he'd just say, "Dave, it means so much to me that you would pray, take the time to pray with me. Not just visit, but take the time to pray with me." He did what he could. He prayed. Not only that, but he helped. Although Don could no longer go out in the Sunday school bus anymore, he still helped. He loved to cook for those kids who rode the buses. In fact, he wouldn't just cook for his bus route. He was cooking for a few different bus routes or different times. And I remember being in his house even back in December, and he was telling me about he had just been cooking for one of the routes. And at that time, he was so weak, he could hardly even stand. And he was sitting down cooking. You know what he did? He did what he could. What are we doing? That's a challenge for us. What are we doing? What are you doing? Is prayer that important as it was to Don? Are you doing what you can to help people in need? We got an illustration of both of these folks. Don and Latrice, they both had excuses to give up. They both had excuses to say, "Nah, I'm not doing anything for anybody. Everybody do something for me." But they did what they could instead. It teaches me that rather than focus on what we can't do, we ought to be focusing on what we can do. We need to be doing something for the Lord. That was the first lesson. Do what you can. Second lesson that I learned from them and I see in their lives is do what you can where you can. Do what you can where you can. In the book of Acts, chapter 28, talks about Paul. He was a prisoner. The Bible says in verse 16, "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him." So he had a soldier assigned to him. And then we read in verses 30 and 31, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." See, Paul was a prisoner with a Roman soldier assigned to him at all times. It wasn't convenient for him to serve the Lord there. But he made the best of his situation. He couldn't go out and about preaching. So he just got people to come there and preach to them there. Don and Latrice, in a sense, became prisoners. They were prisoners in their own bodies. Don laid up at home. Latrice suffering a very devastating stroke. Yet they did what they could where they could. Just like Paul, he couldn't go where he wanted and do everything he wanted, but he did what he could where he could. Let's think about Latrice for a moment. After the stroke, she really did struggle to communicate. Imagine wanting to say something, but not being able to formulate those words and express yourself. She couldn't speak clearly. It's difficult for her to write. How do you get out what's in here? You know, she always tried to express herself. It didn't matter how it came out, she was still going to say it. Despite her limitations, she did her best. She was a master at facial expressions. I'm telling you what, her face could say it all, right? Her smile was contagious. You know, when she wanted to get the kids' attention, She had that look. I mean, that look. She would point. She would nod. She would say what she could. And it was almost a relief sometimes when she would, if you could remember her, she'd say, "Yeah." She'd just get that out, and it was just like, "Amen." She did what she could. She did what she could where she could. No longer able, like I said, have a devotions with those children, but she did her best to get them in the church. You know, before her stroke, she liked to help on the bus route. And she was a blessing to the people. She was faithful to church. You say, wow, why? The Lord knows all those answers to why. You know, maybe he wanted her to be an example to us. Maybe someone's going to walk out of here and say, "I'm not doing what I can." And maybe her difficulty will change someone's life. She did what she could in her home. She did what she could when she came to church. She did what she could where she could. What about Don Fly? For the past couple years, as I mentioned, he was mostly stuck at home. Home's a great place to be, except for when you can't leave. Then it's kind of like a prison. His legs were swollen, very painful. It was difficult even for him to get out to the doctor's appointments. Though he was home, it didn't stop him from serving the Lord. We already talked about it. He was still cooking and all that. But you know what? He did. He witnessed. He said, well, he couldn't get out and witness. Do you think that's going to stop Mr. Fly? Uh-uh. He witnessed people came to his house. You know, you're going to come to my house and I'm going to witness to you. That was how he would. He had this little box on his desk. Those of you who go visit, used to visit him. He had a little box on his desk. He'd have some gospel literature. He always had tracts in there. He had like a Gospel of John's in there. And he even had a pen that he had made up that pointed people to Jesus. He always had something to give to somebody. He had a tremendous burden, as was mentioned, Anna, to witness to one of his nurses. He witnessed all of them that came through. But Anna's the one that kept coming through, and she was a very big help to him. And she went over and above. And I was so happy to see her there and on the funeral on Monday. After the service, she made a comment. She said, I wanted to come and pay my respects. He was such a special man. He made a lasting impression. She knew that he cared for her soul. He witnessed. He had a burden. He was burdened when he could not even get out and witness. One time when we went to visit Don, he told us about his niece. She would visit him from time to time, and she had gotten sick, and she went into the hospital. He had witnessed to her, and she hadn't been saved, and he was really burdened for her. He was concerned. She's in the hospital. So my wife and I, we offered to go visit her for him. He said, "You want us to go sometime?" He got on the phone right away, called her, and said, "Hey, I've got two friends. Can they come up and talk to you?" A few minutes later, we were in the vehicle on our way to the hospital, witnessing to his niece. She didn't make a decision that day, and we went to see her another time, and she still didn't make a decision. But Don couldn't go, but he did what he could where he could. He could pray. He'd get someone else involved and get someone else praying for her, get someone else involved and go visit. He did what he could where he could. He witnessed to people in the hospital. Don was a bold witness. I talked to him a couple weeks ago on the phone, and he was just talking freely about God and how good God had been to him and all of that. He wasn't the least bit concerned when one of the workers, a nurse or an aide, came in and was attending to him. He didn't flinch one bit. He just kept talking about how good God was. Why? He'd already been talking to them about Christ. That's just what he did. That's just who he cared about. He couldn't visit on the bus route. He couldn't go door to door, but he did what he could where he could. I'm thinking then, are we all doing what we can as far as witnessing? Are we looking for opportunities to talk to people? We should be. And then finally, do what you can while you can. Do what you can where you can, but do what you can while you can. Don and Latrice were in different stages of life. Don was 82 when he passed away. You know, until Dr. Mitchell got up and gave the eulogy, I had in here that he was winding down a good life, and he was like, no. He was winding up toward heaven. Latrice was 38. She was in the prime of her life when she suffered that stroke a few years ago. You know, none of us know how much longer we have. None of us do. James reminds us of that. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Go outside when it's cold. Just exhale. Those little vapors just disappear that fast. That's our life. We're here. We're gone. And at the time of people's passing, it's good for us to reflect about our own life and our own passing. We don't know when it's going to be, but we need to be prepared for when it does occur. And we need to make the most of the time that we have while we're here. Seems like yesterday that Don and I were visiting in the projects of Miller or in the neighborhoods in Etna. I've got so many stories I could tell you, but we're not going to go there. And that was almost 30 years ago. But it seemed like yesterday. It seemed like yesterday that Angie was riding from Etna. And Billie Jean or Rosanna. T-Bob came out a few times. And Pam. Oh, yeah. Time goes by so quickly. Seems like just yesterday, Latrice was coming to the Growing in Grace class. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then, and in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Well, farmers, these folks, they knew what he was talking about. You don't go and work in the field at dark when it's, so you've got to get your work done while it's still light. They didn't have John Deere tractors with lights on back then. Let me say, if you're going to get your work done, you got to do it while you still have time. The sun is setting on all of our lives. We don't know how much time we have. And the time will come when we can't work for the Lord. The time will come when we can't witness. We can't pray. We can't give. We can't help those in need. We can't make a difference. So what we need to do is do what we can while we can. Make the best use of our time. We get so distracted with the things of this world. How much time do we waste? That little thing we hold in our hand, that little cell phone, we waste so much time with. We say, oh, I don't have time to do this for God. Check your screen time. We've got time. It's just how we're using it. Are you doing what you can with the time that you have? Or are you wasting it on things that aren't going to matter in eternity? Are you even prepared for eternity? Don and Latrice were not only good people, they were righteous people. And that's why we are blessed to remember them. We started with this scripture in Proverbs 10, verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. It talks about two different kinds of people there. The blessed The just and the wicked. The just are the righteous people. The wicked are those who are evil and have never found forgiveness from the Lord. You know, you may be religious, but you can't be righteous without Jesus. Jesus is righteous, and thankfully he can make us righteous. The Bible says in 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That's an understatement. If any man sin, we all know, for all have sinned. But we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. Why is he the satisfaction? He died on the cross for those sins. He paid for those already so that we don't have to be punished. And it says, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And if you and I repent of our sin and receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, he gives us his righteousness. We're not going to get into heaven by our own good works. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. No, we need Christ and his righteousness. That's why he died on the cross. If you could get to heaven without Jesus, then he didn't have to die. But you and I know he had to die because we can't make ourselves righteous. We're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. But some of us are forgiven sinners made righteous by Christ. And some are sinners who want to stay in their sin and not too concerned about eternity. Oh, woe is you. Scripture say, Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, as we're talking about God, hath made him, talking about Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. He was perfect. Why did he do that? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's a beautiful picture. Here, I'm a sinner. Christ is righteous. God made him to be sin for us. So he took my sin, put it on Jesus, and when I asked Christ to save me, he gave me his righteousness. So now my sin is gone, and I have his righteousness. I get to go to heaven. Not because I'm a good person, but because he gave me his righteousness. And if anyone wants to see Don or Latrice again, it's going to be a matter of receiving Christ as your personal Savior, letting him make you righteous so that you can enter heaven. Oh, God loves you. He loves us. And he wants us to be righteous. And if we don't have his righteousness, what does that mean? That means we remain in our sin. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Rot. Rot means decay. It's talking about perishing. It's one thing if our name perishes. It's another thing if our soul perishes. Jesus gave an account of two men. One was righteous. One was wicked. One, his name is remembered as blessed. In fact, he gives it in Luke chapter 16. He gives the name of the righteous one. He gives the name Lazarus. But the wicked one, his name's not even mentioned because his name has rotted. And unfortunately, his soul also perished. He told this true account, Jesus did. And it came to pass that the beggar died, that was Lazarus, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell? And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. Well, you had what you wanted. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. Well, he had nothing but trouble and problems. He said, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. What kind of name will you leave behind? Will people know that you were saved? that you love the Lord, that you serve the Lord? Or will they wonder where you will spend eternity? As we conclude, we see that down in the trees had a good testimony. They knew the Lord. Do you know the Lord? If you do, what are you doing? What are you doing? Have you done what you could? Are you doing what you can where you can? You might be limited. And are you doing what you can while you can? The clock in our life is ticking. And we don't know when it's going to stop.